Akashwani presents Morning News. Good morning. I'm Anuja Kumar. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi stresses upon making Indian agricultural products export-oriented and globally competitive. Home Minister Amit Shah launches development projects worth over 3,700 crore rupees in Odisha. Aviation regulator DGCA grants aerodrome license for Noida International Airport at Jewar. Balendra Shah's Rashtriya Swatantra Party in Nepal inches towards sweeping victory in general elections, counting of votes underway. U.S. President Donald Trump says no deal with Iran until unconditional surrender as West Asia conflict enters eighth day. And in badminton, Lakshya Sen storms into men's singles semi-final of All England Open Championships. And now the news in detail. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has stressed the need for full utilization of India's diverse climate conditions to increase productivity and export strength. Mr. Modi also emphasized on scaling up high-value crop produce to make the country's agriculture products globally competitive. The Prime Minister was addressing a post-budget webinar on the theme Agriculture and Rural Transformation through video conferencing yesterday. He highlighted the shifting global demand and the necessity of making Indian agriculture sector export-oriented.
Aaj duniya ke bazaar khul rahe hain, global demand badal rahi hai. Is webinar mein apni kheti ko export-oriented banane par bhi jyada se jyada charcha aavashyak hai. Hamare paas diverse climate hai, hame iska pura fayda uthana hai. एग्रोक्लाइमेटिक जोन उस विषय में हम बहुत समृद्ध है इस साल का बजट इन सब बातों के लिए अनगिनत नए अवसर देने वाला बजट है प्रोडक्टिविटी बढ़ाने की दिशा तय करता है और एक्सपोर्ट ट्रेंड को बढ़ावा देता है
The Prime Minister said, today the world is becoming more conscious about health with a strong focus on holistic healthcare and organic food. On the fisheries sector, Mr. Modi said, India is the world's second largest fish producer. He highlighted that while approximately 4.5 lakh tons of fish are currently produced in various reservoirs and ponds, there exists a potential for an additional 20 lakh tons of production. The Prime Minister also spoke on the technology culture in agriculture, referencing ENAM and the development of digital public infrastructure. Union Home and Cooperation Minister Amit Shah inaugurated and laid the foundation stone for development projects worth over 3,770 crore rupees in Odisha yesterday. These include development initiatives of the National Dairy Development Board, the Odisha State Cooperative Milk Producers Federation, as well as various projects of the state government. Mr. Shah also inaugurated Sulfuric Acid Plant 3 at Paradeep Unit of Indian Farmers Fertilizer Cooperative Limited. Addressing a gathering at the Cooperative Development Seminar in Bhubaneswar, Mr. Shah said the projects launched during the day mark an important step in the development of Odisha. He said the sulfuric acid plant at Paradeep will help strengthen domestic production and contribute to making the country self-reliant in the chemical. Referring to internal security, Mr. Shah said the centre has intensified efforts to eliminate left-wing extremism and expressed confidence that the country will be free from Naxalism by the end of this month.
Narendra Modi government has taken a pledge to make the country free from Naxalism by 31st March this year, and CISF has made a very significant contribution to this effort. Whether it is Odisha, Chhattisgarh or Telangana, the CISF has played an important role in the operation to eliminate Naxalism in these states.
Naxal abhiyan ke unmulan mein apni bhumika nibhai hai.
The Directorate General of Civil Aviation, DGCA, has granted the aerodrome license to Yamuna International Airport Private Limited for the Noida International Airport at Jewar in Gautam Budh Nagar of Uttar Pradesh. The airport has been licensed under the public use category for all-weather operations. The Ministry of Civil Aviation informed that the airport is being developed in four phases along with a multimodal cargo hub. Upon completion of all phases, the Noida International Airport will be capable of handling up to 70 million passengers per year. Civil Aviation Minister K. Ram Mohan Naidu congratulated the Uttar Pradesh government, stating that the development of Noida International Airport is a major step towards strengthening aviation connectivity for the National Capital Region and Western Uttar Pradesh. Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal highlighted the rapid rise of India's startup ecosystem in the defence and space sectors. The minister stressed that this transformation is being powered by the country's MSMEs, which are integrating Indian innovation into global supply chains. Mr. Goyal was addressing participants of the 66th cohort of the National Defence College in New Delhi on the theme, Boosting India's Manufacturing Sector, Role of Government and Policy.
Every day the inter-minister group talks to the exporters, and we will not be found wanting in supporting our exporters in any way. We should continue to meet all the commitments that we have made to our buyers, whether in goods or services. And the government will use every policy tool and the export promotion mission to support our exporters. I have already given some instructions in the last 2 days also. Today we'll be formalizing some ways to give comfort to our exporters.
President Draupadi Murmu will be on a day-long visit to Darjeeling in West Bengal today. During her visit, the president will grace the 9th International Santhal Conference being organized by the International Santhal Council. This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at EIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsoneir.gov.in and download the News on EIR app. In Nepal, Rashtriya Swatantra Party RSP, led by popular face for Prime Ministerial candidate Balendra Shah, is inching towards sweeping victory in the first general election since the violent Gen Z protests in the Himalayan nation. Counting of votes is still in progress. We now go live to our Kathmandu correspondent Shweta for more details. Shweta, what latest update Anita, you have? Just a minute, Shweta.
Anita, you see here... In Nepal, the counting is ongoing for 165 constituencies, in which approximately 28 constituencies' results are out. And you see, RSP is leading here with approximately 97 constituencies. They have already won 20 seats. And Nepali Congress, another popular party here, is leading in 9 constituencies and have won 5 seats. UML has won 1 seat and is leading in 13 constituencies. NCP, that is Communist Party, led by Pushpa Kamal Dahal, has won in 2 seats and is leading in 10. And Harka Sampang, that was he was mayor of Dharan, his party, Shram Sanskriti Party, is leading in 5 constituencies. So we are expecting more results soon. I hope so by evening all the results seats will be clear. So this is the update from Nepal, Anuja.
Thank you, Shweta, for the latest update. The intense military conflict in West Asia has entered its 8th day today, escalating into a wider regional confrontation as United States, Israel and Iran continue heavy airstrikes, drone attacks and naval confrontations. Tensions escalated in the region after a joint US-Israel military strike on 28th of last month, which killed its supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei on the Iranian territory, prompting a fierce response from Tehran. We have a report.
As per the latest update, US President Donald Trump in a social media post ruled out any deal with Iran, demanding its unconditional surrender. President Trump said the US and its allies will work to help rebuild Iran economically once it agrees to capitulate. Talking to reporters, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt stated that the US is progressing towards controlling Iran airspace and expects objectives to be achieved within 4 to 6 weeks. She also mentioned Washington is considering potential candidates to lead Iran. Ms. Levitt said achieving objectives of the operation Epic Fury are expected to last about 4 to 6 weeks and further added that the US has enough ammunition and stockpile to achieve the objectives of the operation and beyond.
The achievable objectives of Operation Epic Fury we expect to last about 4 to 6 weeks, and we are well on our way to achieving those objectives. Annihilating Iran's Navy, we know that sunk more than 30 Iranian vessels and ships. Their Navy has now been deemed combat ineffective. Taking out the ballistic missile threat that Iran posed to the United States and our troops and bases in the region. The United States military has done a tremendous job.
On the Iranian side, President Masoud Pezeshkian has said that some countries have begun begun mediation efforts to resolve the ongoing conflict with the United States and Israel. In a social media post, he said, Iran is committed to lasting peace in the region, yet they have no hesitation in defending nation's dignity and sovereignty. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes targeted locations in Iran and Lebanon as the U.S. struck an Iranian drone carrier at sea. The Israel Defense Forces said, 50 fighter jets hit underground military bunkers linked to the late Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The Israeli military said that around 2,500 strikes have been carried out against Iranian targets and claimed it has destroyed about 80% of Iran's air defense system in the ongoing campaign. Oil prices have surged to their highest levels since 2023 amid escalating tensions linked to the Iran conflict. From News Desk, Jigyasa Pandey, Akashwani News, Delhi.
India has allowed the urgent docking of an Iranian ship at Kochi in Kerala and provided accommodation to its 183 crew members. Sources in the government said days before the Iris Dena incident in the south of Sri Lanka, India was approached by Iran to take in the Iranian ship Iris Lavan, which was also in the region for the international fleet review. The sources said this request was received on the 28th of last month, indicating that a docking at Kochi was urgent as the vessel had developed technical issues. Iris Lavan docked at Kochi on 4th of March. A total of 278 flights scheduled to be operated by Indian domestic carriers yesterday were cancelled due to the ongoing developments in West Asia and the resulting airspace restrictions. The Ministry of Civil Aviation said flight operations have been impacted across several sectors. In a social media post, the ministry said that passenger movement data for 5th of this month showed that a total of 40 inbound flights operated by Indian carriers arrived in India from the West Asia region, carrying more than 7,200 passengers, taking the cumulative passenger arrivals to over 14,900. And on to sports. In badminton, Lakshya Sen has stormed into the men's singles semi-finals of the prestigious All England Open Championships in Birmingham. Lakshya defeated China's Li Shifeng 21-13, 21-16 in the quarterfinal last night. The world number 12 Lakshya will face Canada's Victor Lai in the last four clash today. Lakshya is the only Indian left in the fray after the mixed doubles pair of Dhruv Kapila and Tanisha Krasto retired against Hong Kong's Tang Chun Man and Tsi Ying Suet. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Shagun Chopra.
Thank you, Anuja. The dailies are full of news on global crude oil price crossing the $90 per barrel mark amidst escalating West Asia conflict. Worst week in over a year for markets as crude prices touch a pain point, writes Financial Express. As oil surges, US gives India a waiver on Russian cargoes, writes Hindustan Times. Discount deals on Dubai gold as widening war chokes trade routes rather than paying indefinitely for storage and funding, reports Financial Express. The Tribune on its front page states, in a historic move to curb the adverse effects of increasing screen time, Karnataka, Andhra banned social media for children. The editorial in the Indian Express highlights the invisible labour of care as a national priority. As we celebrate the International Women's Day tomorrow, the article recognises and honours the achievements of Bharat's women and salutes their indomitable spirit as the Indian women today are at the forefront of India's transformation. From fighter pilots to grassroots leaders, they are driving inclusive and sustained national progress, having the strength to nurture and lead. MBBS graduate top civil services exams in which professionals dominate, cites the Times of India. And finally, under new recruitment rules, the Telangana Fire, Disaster Response, Emergency and Civil Defence Department is set to recruit its first batch of women firefighters, states the Hindu. And with that, it's back to you, Anuja.
Thank you, Shagun. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi stresses upon making Indian agricultural products export-oriented and globally competitive. Home Minister Amit Shah launches development projects worth over 3,700 crore rupees in Odisha. Aviation regulator DGCA grants aerodrome license for Noida International Airport at Jewar. Balendra Shah's Rashtriya Swatantra Party in Nepal inches towards sweeping victory in general elections, counting of votes underway. U.S. President Donald Trump says no deal with Iran until unconditional surrender as West Asia conflict enters eighth day. And in badminton, Lakshya Sen storms into men's singles semi-final of All England Open Championships. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.